Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 17. Finally, all of you, having unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him give his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. This is God's word for us today. You may be seated.
Like I mentioned a minute ago, it is Missions Emphasis Week, and we are talking about missions. So if you've been here this fall, you know that we've been in a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is a break from that in so much as we're not going to be talking about Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But we are still talking about what Jesus talks about when he is instructing his disciples to live like he lives, to behave differently than the world around them. We're just doing it in the context of missions this week. We talk about every tribe, language, people, and nation coming to know God and to praise God and be a part of the kingdom, because that's what Scripture tells us the new heaven and the new earth will be like. We don't just set this out here as a goal, something that we hope to attain at some point. This is kind of our standard of excellence. It is. But this is what Jesus tells us his kingdom will be like. Every tribe, nation, and tongue will be represented. He wants all of the world. He wants all of the people. All the people praising him, right? So this is our call, and it is also our standard, and it is also our hope, because God has said this is what you can expect in the future. So it's Missions Emphasis Week. We're talking about missions. And before I get too far, I am going to pray for our field staff and for our missionaries. And if you don't know, I want to explain to you how that's maybe a little bit different at Grace than it is in other places. A lot of churches support missions and ministries, missionaries, by just partnering with lots of different folks. And that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. At Grace, we have chosen to focus on a few, usually around six or seven different missionary partners that we support at a higher level, and we try to have meaningful interactions with those folks. We try to have real relationship with those folks that goes beyond just sending them a check. And so we call them field staff, and when they're in town, we love to have them here and to participate with us and worship and be a part of our body. And we actually have some who are in town permanently because they work at the university. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. What does it mean to be on mission and involved with the university? But the short version is that we see the University of Iowa and Kirkwood and Co. and all of the surrounding colleges, we see those colleges as a unique opportunity where the world is coming to us. It is all of the United States. It is many countries of the world, and they're coming here. And if you ever tried to leave here, you know it takes a while, right? Anybody tried to leave Iowa before? It takes a minute. Right? Even if you're driving, which is the preferred way of travel in the Midwest, it takes you a little while to get outside of the state and to go to other places. But the university means that all those people are coming here. And so this morning, as we begin this sermon and this message on missions, let's just spend a few minutes praying for those people who have dedicated their time and their life to ministering at the university, who are our partners, our field staff. This would be Scott and Paige Heemstra and Wade Summers, and their many volunteers, their teams. Let's pray for them as they do this work, and pray for this time as we study God's word. God, thank you for calling not just the Heemstras and the Summers and those with them, but many to serve at the university. Thank you for calling men and women to go into dorms and have Bible studies, to walk on campus and make relationships, to invite people off campus, Lord, to have conversations about faith and to learn about this area and use that as a vehicle for relationship. Thank you for all of these efforts. We pray that they would be for you. We pray that the work done would be in your name and for your glory. And we pray that the workers would have your strength and your Holy Spirit. Encourage them, Lord, with your Spirit. Feed and nourish them. And provide for them. I pray that our body here at Grace, that we would be supporting them in prayer, financially encouraging them with our words and with our actions and our physical presence. But more than that, Lord, we pray that you would be working through the whole kingdom of God to maximize, to utilize this resource that you've made. Lord, you've brought this university to this place and this time. You brought these people, these students, grad students. Do a good work here. And do a good work in us today. Open our eyes to see astounding things, wonderful things in your word this morning. Pray that you would speak to us through your word, that we would understand you better because of our time spent there. Lord, whatever people walk away with this morning, let it be from you. Pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're not going to actually have show and tell this morning. I'm just going to talk about it. Some of you are nervous. You're like, I didn't bring anything. I don't know about you, but my experience growing up, right, there was a period there where like every week we had show and tell, and every, it was like Friday, right? And every Thursday night, my mom's like, here, take your dad's socks, do something. Show them something. I don't know what to send with you. We're not doing that. I'm going to use it, though. We'll talk about it in a little bit. We're going to talk about this morning, 1 Peter, the passage that Lynette read, and it's a longer passage. We're not talking about the whole thing word by word. We are going to focus on what Peter says about always being ready to give a reason, a defense for the hope that you have. That's important. But before we do that, we need to do a little diagnostic. We need to figure out where we are now. When we talk about missions, when we talk about sharing the gospel, let's figure out where we are. How are we thinking about that right now? We'll walk through a little bit what it means to show and tell, and then we'll get to that visible hope part. That part where if you're ready to share about the hope that's within you, it's because the hope is evident. It's visible. And then we'll talk about the reason you ought to be ready with. So where are we now? Here's the thing. Jesus calls us to follow him and make disciples. This should not be news to any of you, especially if you come to Grace. It is our mission here. We say it frequently, to be disciples who make disciples. And so that should be clear to all of us. If you're new to the church, maybe it's not. But if you're at Grace for any length of time, you'll hear us say this. And you'll know that this call is to everyone or to anyone who would believe. And John 3:16 is very clear. Jesus says it himself. This is why I'm here. I came to seek and save the lost. He says, if you believe in me, anyone who believes in me, right? That I have died or that I will die and rise again. Anybody who does that, has that belief, they can enter the kingdom. And we read the rest of Scripture and we see this is truly good news because it means that for all of us who recognize that we have sinned and we've all sinned, for all of us who recognize that we've sinned, then there's hope for us. There's life everlasting for us. And so we'll start that way this morning as a reminder of the good news because all of you are still struggling with sin because you're still alive. And you feel it differently. Some of you are keenly aware, like you woke up this morning aware of a specific sin or struggle and you've thought about it since you've come here and you're thinking about it now since I'm talking about it. Others of you are like, no, I'm fine, I'm good. But it will happen. Maybe later today, maybe later this week, you will be made aware of your sin and of the sin in the world that you are experiencing. And so you know, if you think about it, that you need a Savior, that you need something because this world is not providing what you need. And Jesus says, I provide it. And that is good news. And there is an alternative. And Jesus lays it out in John, and we see it again in Mark, that when you don't believe, That's when there's condemnation. That is when there is destruction. And so Jesus says, it is a free gift, but you have to believe. You have to believe that I am who I say I am and I do what I say I do. From there, Jesus says, if you have believed, if you've trusted me, tell other people about me and show them how to be my disciple. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's what it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It is a show and tell reality, only it's really a tell and show reality. Tell everybody who I am and then show them how to follow me. And they both have to go together. And the reason that I wanted to do a diagnostic, the reason that I wanted to have kind of a state of the faith conversation when we start is because we tend to fall off on one or the other side. A lot of us are very keen on telling. It is the thing that we find easiest to do. And so we can reduce the responsibility Jesus gave us to make disciples of all nations to just the act of telling. And this is kind of like the way that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount has been saying to his disciples, you have heard it was said this, but I tell you that. Well, many of you have heard that it was said, just tell people the good news. Just tell them the gospel. Just evangelize. Just share your faith with your neighbor. Just spread the gospel. That's what you need to do. Anybody heard that before? Anybody heard, been to a church or been to a meeting, a church meeting, or you've been in Sunday school, and you get that message. I need to share about Jesus. That's right, you do. That's important. Jesus said, make disciples. You can't make disciples without telling people about him. That is true. But if that's all you do, if all you do is tell and there's no show, the consequence of that is an error where your faith, or at least your stated faith, slowly moves apart from the way that you live your life. And you have all encountered people. We have been people who say things that we don't do. And you know how that diminishes faith. You know how hard it is to believe somebody who says one thing and does another. And when we put too much emphasis on just tell people, and we take it out of the context of body, of doing, then we run the risk of challenging people to believe in just our word. And our word is no good if we don't back it up with action. So telling is good. We should do that. We should tell, definitely. But we also have to show. And sometimes we like to fall on the other side, right? And we like to just show. We just need to care for the poor, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, all of which Jesus tells us to do. So don't hear me say that those are bad things. But there is another group of Christians even who say, really, this is the important stuff. If you never tell people the full gospel story, it's okay so long as you fed them. And maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've heard this. It doesn't really matter what we say in church as long as we're doing the right thing. That doesn't work. As soon as you start to just show, you start showing for the wrong reasons. And you forget who you're serving, and you forget who's king. And so it cannot be one or the other. John says, in the beginning was the word, the telling. The word was God, and the word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. That's telling. And then the word became flesh. And he showed, and he embodied, and he made real for us the things he was telling us to do. So it has to be both. We cannot just show, we cannot just tell. It has to be both. Here's the thing. I am not telling you, all of you, that you need to therefore go and become full-time vocational missionaries. Every one of you should be signing up after church to go to a different country and learn a different language and give away every penny that you have right now. Right? That is not the consequence of what I'm saying. It can feel like that, though. When you hear somebody on a Sunday morning in a church say, you need to both show your faith and tell about your faith. And if you're not doing that, you're not following Jesus as he intends, which is what I'm saying. It can feel like, oh, well, then I have to quit my job, right? I have to go to a different country. I have to learn a different language and meet new people. That must be what you're saying. And that's not what I'm saying. Jesus absolutely wants us to tell people and to show people. But he's not necessarily calling us all to go to different parts of the world. Some of you he will. Some of you he will call to different peoples and cultures and places. But for most of us, he wants us to live a relatively quiet life, focused on work and family. Turn, if you've got a Bible, to 1 Timothy 4. In 1 Timothy 4, we've got this instruction from Paul to Timothy on how he is supposed to be training the church. What is he supposed to be teaching the people that have come into his body, into his local fellowship? Paul says, teach them this way. Do I have the right? Hold on, I might have the wrong reference. Oh, starting in verse 1. I should read my own notes. Starting in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the Lord, by the word of God and prayer. So Paul begins by saying, listen, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be temptations. All of you focus on the good that is from God and his word. And then he goes on and he says, teach the brothers. Be a good servant of Christ in front of them. Have nothing to do with silly myths. Be trustworthy, or this is trustworthy and of full acceptance. We strive for our hope is set on a living God, the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. And he says, command these things. And he's teaching them, right? He's teaching them how to do this in their daily life, how to do this every day. Titus 2 does this a little differently, and it says, Paul again teaching Titus, if you're an older man, do this with younger men, walk with them. Teach them how to follow the word. If you're an older woman, walk with younger women. Teach them how to follow the word. It's a daily striving after the Lord. So showing and telling the gospel doesn't necessarily require you to go to a different country or learn a new culture, learn new people. It does require you to daily follow Jesus and to be a disciple in your daily life. Peter then says to us here in 1 Peter, have no fear of them. That's people who would persecute you, people who would put you down, the world around you. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Is your hope visible? If you follow Jesus, if you believe in him, do people know? How do they know? Is it because you tell them? Do you walk into work every morning like this? Go, I hope in Jesus so hard. That's ineffective. That's not fruitful. If you're doing that, please stop. Do you just have bumper stickers to talk about Jesus? Do you wear t-shirts to talk about Jesus? Do you just drop casually with all of your conversations that you go to church on Sunday? Or is it just your actions? You're just hoping that people see the fact that you volunteer and they see the fact that you've given money to support certain causes and they see the fact that you go to places where there are people in need and you serve them. How do people know that you have hope? Is it visible? You don't have to go to a different country. You don't have to learn a new language. But you do have to be ready to share the reason for your hope. And if your hope isn't visible, if nobody knows that you have hope in Christ, you will never have to be ready to share why you have hope in Christ. So it has to be visible. It has to be something that people can see. And there are consequences when you have a visible hope. People see that you look different than the world. They ask because they're made aware. You have encountered people like this. You've run into people before. I know you have. I have. Who are different. They truly have joy. They operate in joy. You see them happy when their circumstances say they should not be happy. You see them peaceful when their circumstances say they should not be peaceful. The scripture is clear. Sometimes people will even persecute us because of this. But having a visible hope means that you don't deny that. You don't deny the fact that there are persecutions, that you have pain, that you have suffering. But rather, we silence evil. That's what 1 Peter 2:15 says. We silence evil when we do good. So we might be persecuted. Most of you will probably not be. If you go out of this place today and you are just intent, you're just saying to the Lord, you're just praying on a daily basis, help me to show this hope, Lord. Most likely you will not be persecuted. Nobody is going to give you a hard time simply because you are asking for opportunities to share your hope. But even if you are, that evil will be silenced when you do good. That evil will be silenced. What does it mean to do good, to have visible hope? Here's what it looks like. It looks like the body of Christ behaving like Christ. It looks like talking to the Father, being zealous for doing good, possibly suffering, but defending the gospel. Let's read that passage again that Lynette wrote, that Lynette read. She didn't write it. It was around a few years before here. Let's read it again because all of these things and more are there. And I want us to dwell on this for just a minute about what does it mean to have a visible hope? What does that mean? What am I talking about? In practice, in reality, if I'm going to tell people about Jesus, I'm going to show people about Jesus, what does this mean? Starting in verse 8 of 1 Peter 3. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. First verse. Unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. That's a disposition. That's a way of behaving toward the world. Think for just a minute how you do or do not have these things. Just in your own household. Let's pretend you don't have neighbors. That's really easy, right? We can go in, we can shut the door. We don't even have to look at or talk to our neighbors, our physical neighbors. Pretend they don't exist for a minute. And it's just the people in your home. And maybe there aren't other people in your home. Maybe you live alone. You still have a mirror, I can guarantee it. And so you're encountering one person always in your home, right? Even if it's just you. What is your attitude? Is it one of unity with the body of Christ? Sympathy with your brothers, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Is this how you start your day? What about the next verse? Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called that you may obtain a blessing. When was the last time somebody did a wrong to you and you actively thought, God, help me to love them better? How about when was the last time somebody did a wrong to you and your active thought was, how do I kill that person now? How do I harm them? How do I make them feel the pain they just made me feel? Right? That's more common. That's more likely. If you have a hope in Christ, he enables you in the moment to say that is the wrong response, to want their destruction, to want their pain. It is the right response to hope that they would have the same brotherly love and affection that I have, the same unity of mind. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. You have all walked this earth long enough, even if you're small, to know that there are people who tell the truth and there are people who tell lies. And when you work with, when you play with, when you spend time with people who tell the truth, it is a joy, even when it's hard. And when you work and live and play with people who tell lies, it is suffering. If you are telling the truth, if you are walking in truth, if that is what comes off of your lips and it's evident in your actions, that is evidence of your hope. People are going to notice that. They're going to want to know why it is you have that and they don't. And it is from Jesus. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that you cannot pray to God if you have been doing wrong. It means that if you are doing wrong, it gets in the way of talking to God. Brooks has been talking about how the Garden of Eden demonstrates, it shows us what God's intention was all along. And he's been talking about how, whether it's with anger or with sexual ethics or whatever it is, the things that we choose for ourselves are the things that are always the broken version. They're the marred version, the wrong version. And the things that God chooses for us are the better ones. But already in the Garden of Eden, we were saying, no, God, we know better than you. And when we sin now, today, we are saying, no, God, we know better than you. And so don't read a passage like this that says that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil and think, well, I've done too much evil. He'll never listen to me. As soon as you say to the Lord, please, Lord, listen to me. I'm coming to you. I want to know what is best. He is listening. And he wants to know what you have to say. There is no harm if you are zealous for what is good. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, again, those who are persecuting, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. This is what it looks like to have hope. Walk in the truth. Speak the truth. Do good. Show other people what it is to have Christ in you and to be transformed. That's what it means to have a visible hope. If you are doing that, people will want to know. And they may not come up to you and say to you, hey, do you know Jesus? But they will likely come up to you and say, hey, can I spend time with you? I want to be around you because there are things going on in your life that don't happen in mine. And I want to know where that comes from. This is what having a visible hope looks like. Scripture is laying it out for us. What does it mean to be ready with a response? That's a different story. You have to show the world that you follow Jesus by obeying his commands. Jesus says this, right? Jesus tells his disciples, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. If you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. If you love me, you'll love one another. And that will be evidence to the world that you're my disciples. So to be ready with a response is to be doing the thing that Jesus says you ought to do. And that is a response. That is the showing part of the response. If you're doing the things that Christ has commanded you to do, you are ready with a response. You're already doing it. You're showing people how you are different because you follow Jesus. But there is a telling part, and here's the awesome, awesome news, that you do not have to do this of your own strength or power. You don't have to think, what am I going to say? How am I going to have the right words? Jesus tells his disciples in Mark, it's a great example. He says, listen, you're going to be brought before kings and princes and rulers. You're going to be condemned. You're going to be put to death. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about the words that you will need to tell people about me. I'll give you the words. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. So if you are full of the hope that there is a resurrection, that there is a Savior, that there is an everlasting life, if you're full of that hope, if you're living that out, then when it comes time to speak, trust me and let my Holy Spirit speak through you because I want to speak through you. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, to help us. So that's what it means. That's what it means to show and tell, to be ready with a response. It means if you attend Grace, that there are people in your home and in your work circles and in your community interactions that you can have an evangelistic, yes, telling relationship with, but you can also have a discipleship demonstration showing relationship with. Let's just start right here. It's Missions Emphasis Week, and absolutely at Grace, we want to support those who are going out across the globe. And in fact, you're going to start hearing us talk here at Grace about two different kinds of missions or outreach, one which is globally focused. And we've always talked about this generally, but we're going to try and be a little bit more specific. Global focus, and we're going to include the university for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, the fact that people come from all over the world to the university and then go back out again. So global focus, which is kind of what we're talking about this week, and then local service-focused stuff that you can do right here in the community. So we're going to actually do another sort of emphasis week in the spring. We'll focus more on things happening really close at home. But for whatever path you might follow, whether you would go and minister to people across the world or just here in the greater Iowa City area, there are people in your home and in your work circles, in your community interactions, at the store, at the bank, wherever it is you go. You can show them and tell them the gospel. You do not have to be a vocational minister. You don't have to get paid to do this. You just have to have visible hope and a ready response when somebody asks you. And that ready response can be continuing to do the thing that you're doing in the Lord and praying and saying, God, give me the words. Holy Spirit, I don't have the words to say. Speak through me. That's all that's required. And you can do that in your home. Everybody has one of these things, right? Everybody has home, work, and or a community. Anybody missing one of those? If you are, come and talk to us. There's a dire need there. We want to know about it. But I think all of you have these things. You might say, well, I don't really work with anybody. I work from home. I'm in my basement, right? I'm on Zoom or Teams or whatever it is that you're on all day. You are still interacting with people. Where is the light of Christ needed? It is needed in online meetings. They are horrible. Amen? There is nothing more soul-sucking than sitting and staring at a screen all day and knowing that the people on the other side don't want to be there either. Absolutely, the love of Christ is needed in that situation. And some of you you're with people all day long. You're teachers. You work in various businesses. You encounter people every day, all day. So absolutely, there's an opportunity for you here. If you attend Grace, also consider this. The university has many opportunities. Talk to the Heemstras about Navigators. Talk to Wade Summers about International Neighbors. Talk to some of our partners about how you can serve. The world is coming to our doorstep. Don't ignore it. Just build relationships. Just start there. And then be open to short-term opportunities. Be open to long-term opportunities. We had a dinner last night where people could come and talk to missionaries. About 45 people came. It was great. Next time we do it, sign up. Come and listen and hear what are some opportunities that I could have to do this in other places and other ways. Maybe you'll never be called to that kind of full-time vocational ministry, but you can still go for a little while. Share. I'm going to invite Zach and Emily up. We're going to have a song of response here in a minute. But I want you to ask yourself these questions. Where are you now? How do you show and tell others about Jesus? Do you have a visible hope? Are you ready to share a reason for your hope? Ask yourself those questions. Think seriously about those answers. And then follow Jesus daily. Share your hope with those you meet. Do the thing that Jesus calls you to do. Rely on the Holy Spirit to tell others about him and be willing to go and support those who go. Be willing to go, even if it is just to somebody else in your home, and tell them about the gospel. If you follow Jesus and you want to talk to somebody about that, come down in front. We want to talk to you. If you are already following Jesus, talk to each other about it. You ought to be able to share the hope certainly with each other. Go talk to our missions partners in the gym. Find out how they're sharing their hope across the world. Now, listen to these words from Paul to Titus. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. God, I pray that we would be eager, zealous to do good works today, to tell other people about you and to do that all in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, give us the words so that we can tell what you would have us tell. Holy Spirit, empower us so that we can show what you would have us show. We just sang, Lord, we want ourself to be yours, ever, always, only for you. Don't just take a little, Lord. Take all of us. Make us like you today. I pray in your name. Amen.